Yesterday, my family added a new member, not of the human variety, a kitten. But I was not the one to name that cat. That right belonged to two of my children. And if you want to know that name and learn where it came from, you're going to have to talk to them. There's a story behind most every name, isn't there? Are there any stories out here that you might feel so bold enough to just simply share a little bit? Your own naming or the naming that you gave to someone else? Okay, I see a couple. Go ahead, Sharon.
I said to Mom, I might as well. We named Mike, obviously, after his dad. That was the easy one because he's just a junior. But Beth, we went to my grandmother and said, Mom, we'd like to name our daughter after you. And she says, no, you can't, because I don't want her to be called Lib or Libby. And I said, well, we won't. We're going to call her Beth. And she says, well, all right then. And so she says, I'd be honored. Well, then her middle name comes from my middle name, the Lee part, and the Ann comes from Mom's middle name, Judy's middle name, and Mary's middle name. And then Karen and I were named in an unusual way because, of course, we were born in November instead of February. Mom loved the name Heather. And Dad said, well, if you name one of them Heather, I'm naming the other one Hannah. And you know how that would go with Heather, Hannah, and Hannah, Hannah. So he came back and Mom said the next day, Sharon and Karen, you got a problem with that? And he said, no. So that's how we got our names. And I think Mom wanted to tell about hers.
Okay, go ahead.
And I came like a gale.
Okay. Others.
And on and on.
Now try to keep these brief now, because I do, okay, unless you don't want me to preach, but okay. Right, quick, everybody starts raising their. Okay. Now let's keep it simple, okay?
When David was born, we named David's middle name Michael after somebody that Israel played ball with and baseball with in Texas. And the Cowboys team, and he went on and became a Michael Maldonado was his name, and he went on and he went to minor leagues, the major leagues, and the whole family is just well known. All these brothers were outstanding baseball players.
Okay, I see Jamie.
Oh, his name for my father. My father's name was James Philip. Any name, James.
Okay, from James to Jane, named after her father. Okay, others? Me. Okay. Go ahead.
So, my dog, I have another pet story. My current dog, Millie, was named after my Aunt Millie, Mildred Knight. So my dad walked up to the door when they first got her and said, he was like, Molly? And he was like, Millie. So we named her after my aunt.
Christmas has always had special meaning to me since a child. My daughter's name is Holly. She was not born in December, but we were married 23rd of December, which is today. So naturally, her name had to be Holly.
Okay, so the Holly and the Ivy. Okay. Others? Steve? Okay.
I won't stand. My parents probably had great insight. They named me after St. Stephen, which is the day after the birth of Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church, and he was their first martyr. And I guess they figured I was going to cause them enough problems that they better get a head start on it, and it's true.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. I've said many times before, I think, that I'm named after my grandfather, Oscar. What? Of course, my mother's family was all Swedish, and his full name was Oscar Sylvander Peterson. Okay. Every name has a story. whether it is the name itself or the act of naming. And so too, this story, which is really about the power of naming. I mean, when you think about the husband-to-be of Joseph, the first thing that maybe comes to your mind is, well, now, wait a minute. He wasn't really the father of Jesus. You know, he was sort of like an appendix or, you know, a footnote to the story. And yet Scripture tells the story from different angles. Have you noticed that? We're not given just one story of the nativity. We are given a couple. And in the one, it's kind of told through the eyes and the ears of the mother of Jesus. But the one we heard this morning is told from the perspective of Joseph, who wasn't really the father of Jesus. And in this story, you catch the conflict of this man in hearing the news that he probably didn't want to hear, that his betrothed was pregnant, and he knew perfectly well that he was not involved. And we won't go into the birds and bees on this one. Now, there's a few things I would like you to know about Joseph. The fact is, and I think this is an important thing, is that Joseph was not a strict literalist when it came to Scripture. Scripture, you know, gives us space to wrestle. And that is what we, as children of Israel, the word Israel mean those who wrestle with God, we are given the power to wrestle with Scripture. Strictly speaking, the law of Moses, when talking about adultery, and this is what this is about, when adultery happens, there is to be a consequence. And granted, the consequence here seems to fall too heavily upon one sex rather than the other. But if he were a literalist, he would step into that stream of interpretation that says Mary had to be stoned. In other words, she, as someone who had broken a vow in the eyes of the community, should be taken to a cliff, and this is how it was done, taken to a cliff or a tall place, thrown off, and everybody throw stones at her until she is dead. That is what the law said the consequence was. But Joseph couldn't do that. You can imagine the wrestling that this child of Israel had to do. And we heard the story of the culmination of this wrestling, where the presence of God came in the form of an angel, speaking to him words, as angels always seem to say in the Bible when they come to us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. And in so doing, the angel gave to Joseph the power to make some choices, the power to become part of the story of this child, the power to become a father, the power to name. And it is Joseph, Scripture records, as having given Jesus his name. Now, the long and short of what I want to pass on to you for this time is two things. First of all, God is an empowering God. God does not come into our lives to take away our strength, to take away our ability, to take away our choices in life. God is an empowering God. When God comes in however God can come in, whether it be the Holy Spirit or whether it be an angel, however presence is experienced, God comes into our lives to empower us to make choices, to be involved in naming things, naming our children. We all had the power, for instance, to name our children. Now, talking about what's in a name, does anybody know what the name Jesus means? I mean, Jesus was not an unusual name back in that day and age. It was, in fact, a very common name. Does anybody know? I don't know, but maybe perhaps one of you do know. What were the common names in the years 2012? I'm not sure it's been determined for 2013. Anyone? I'm sure somebody must know. What? Jacob is one of them. You know, the most popular name to name a child. Anyone else? What about female? I don't. But Jesus was a popular name back then. You know, it was not unusual. There are lots of Jesuses back then. Probably because Jesus was a variation of the name Joshua. Anybody know the story of Joshua in the Old Testament? Joshua in the Old Testament was the successor of Moses. And the word kind of continues, you know, that salvation message that Moses was a part of, saving the people. The word, the name Joseph, like the name Jesus, means God saves, rescues. God is my help. God empowers. We are given power to step out. That's point one. Point two is on the flip side of that. Yes, God gives us power. We are not powerless. We can make decisions. But remember this, my brothers and sisters. Everything does not depend upon us. That's actually a very freeing thought. Because we can go through life thinking, I can't make a mistake. Because it all depends upon me. You know, I can say yes, I can become a father to a child. Or a mother to a child. I can take up some responsibility, but I can royally mess things up. I can pass on to this child in ways that leave this child crippled. Of course, God empowers us in ways that lead towards uprightness and building up instead of tearing down. But all does not rest on our shoulders. And that's a freeing thought. Think about those two things as you approach Christmas. Because if you're anything like me, last week I said I hadn't started Christmas shopping. Well, I had little this week. I still have more to do. It still feels like there's so much more to get done before, you know, personal and corporate stuff eventually comes to its culmination. But we have, in this season especially, when everything seems to be coming at us at once, we have the power to get through it, just like life. But it all doesn't rest on our shoulders. God is with us. What's in a name? What does Emmanuel mean? God is with us.